All right, so why don't we bow our heads and begin with a word of prayer, and I'm going to jump right into what I have for you today as we're going to begin this new year with this word, I believe, from God. Father, we thank you so much for this brand new year. We are excited about what you are doing and what you are about to do and what you want to do in and through us. God, we just dedicate everything to you. We open our hearts and we settle ourselves into wanting to hear what you have to say to us today. We believe and trust, God, that you are sovereign, that you know exactly what's best. And so, Father, we submit ourselves to you in that way. We ask for your anointing. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your favor. We ask for your grace, your mercy in our lives. And so, God, we thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that every single person here today is going to connect with you in an amazing way today and throughout this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there was a woman who, she was amazed at how nice this young man was that lived next door. Every day he would help her, unload her car or help her with her yard. And she was always just amazed at just how nice he was. And so one day she says, "Son, how did you become such a fine young man?" And he said, "Well, when I was a boy, I had a drug problem." And the woman was like, "I simply can't believe that. There's no way." And he said, "Yeah, I had a drug problem. Every Sunday, my parents drug me to church. Every Sunday night, they drug me to church. Every Wednesday night, they drug me to church." That young man probably didn't understand what his parents were doing at the time. But he figured it out later on when she said, "How did you become such a fine young man?" Sometimes we do things, including going to church, without really knowing why. We don't really know why, and when we don't know why, we can miss the whole point. There was I heard a story about several years ago in Pittsburgh. The city of Pittsburgh built a brand new state-of-the-art, multi-million-dollar post office. And on the opening day of the post office, the governor came and gave a speech, and there were bands playing, and there was a big crowd, and everybody cheered, and it was an amazing celebration. They cut the ribbon, opened the doors to the post office. The first person walks in with a letter, and that was the point when they realized that they had forgotten the letter drop for the post office. In their rush to meet the deadline, they built this multi-million dollar, state-of-the-art, huge post office. And you couldn't mail a letter. The reason for its existence had been overlooked. And that's really what I want to talk to you guys about this morning. Because when any church loses its purpose, it misses the very reason for its existence. If you don't know the purpose for why you're here, you miss the whole point. And as a people, as a church, when we don't know the purpose of the church, we don't know why the church exists, what God wants, if we don't know that, we miss it. We miss the very reason for its existence. God has established our church for a purpose. He's established our church for a purpose. And the purpose of the church, actually, it consists of five things. And what I want to do is I want to go through these five things. Now, I'm going to go through two of them today, and then two of them in a couple weeks, and then we'll do the last one towards the end of the month. But what I want to do is I want to look at these five purposes of the church. But what's interesting is that these five purposes of the church can also be thought of as goals for each one of us individually. Because how many of you guys understand that the church is not a building? The church is you and me. The church is people. Unlike the post office, the church is not a building. The church is you and me. And so, God's purposes for the church are His purposes for you and for me. They can be thought of as five goals that God has for your life. Not necessarily just for what you are to do, but for what you are to be or become. So let's go through the first two. And what I've done is I've arranged these five goals in alphabetical order because it makes it easier to memorize. But here's the first goal that God has for the church, for you, for me. Number one is that God wants me to be a model of His character. God wants me to be a model of His character. I've set it out this way because, as you're taking notes, it's much more personal when you write, God wants me. So when I say that, I'm not talking about Cedric. Amen. Because you guys are like, yo, amen, I know He does. He wants that for you, man. That's not what I'm doing. God wants me to be a model of His character. This is the first purpose of the church, which is discipleship. Discipleship is the first purpose of the church. The goal of discipleship. God wants you and every believer to grow up. Let me hear you say, God wants me to grow up. Some of y'all didn't say it, so you don't believe it. But it's true. God wants you, He wants me, He wants us to grow up. He wants us to grow up to be like Christ in terms of our character. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. You guys remember that? We talked about this throughout the month of December last year. It seems like such a long time ago. But Paul gave us a list of specific things, specific areas where we're to model the character of Christ. Speech, in our life, in love, in purity, and in faith. Five specific areas. But here's the thing about becoming more like Christ in character. What we're talking about is maturity, and maturity is not measured by how much you learn. Maturity is measured by your life, by your lifestyle. See, in the world, maturity is measured by numbers. There's specific target numbers that we hit that where the world says you have reached a certain level of maturity. 16. I can drive. 18. I can vote. 21, I can fry my brain. 65, I can disconnect from everybody. Right? We've got all these numbers that say these specific things, right? That measures of our maturity. Or grades, you know, 12, that means your education is complete unless you go to college for four more years. It's all about numbers. But in the kingdom of God, maturity isn't measured by numbers. In the kingdom of God, maturity is measured by your character. By who you are as a person. by how you handle things in life. That's maturity, according to the kingdom of God. Speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Romans 5, 3, verses 3 and 4 give a list of the process how maturity is developed. You may not like this, but it starts with suffering. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance then produces character. And then character is what produces hope. Isn't that interesting? Hope comes from suffering, perseverance, and then character. That's the sequence. Phillips Brooks, he said that the great purpose of life is the shaping of character by truth. Only truth will develop your character. The truth of the Word of God, the truth of the kingdom of God, the reality of God, that's what produces character. The truth of the Word of God is how you persevere through suffering. It's how character is then produced through perseverance. And it's how character will then produce hope in your life. It's by the truth. Now, the reality is that there's no shortcuts. There's no fast track. Anybody ever been to Disneyland? There's no fast track to maturity. There's no fast track to character. It takes years for us to grow to adulthood. It takes a full season for fruit to ripen. Character involves the Holy Spirit shaping our lives, bringing character into our lives. But when our character is shaped by the Holy Spirit, our actions and our words line up. And when that happens, we're then able to do good. We're able to do good things in people's lives. We're able to accomplish great, great things. I wasn't sure whether to use this story or not, but I think I will. It's written by a man who was a taxi cab driver, and I just thought it was such an amazing picture of the character of a person. Because a lot of times we may think we're at a certain place, but circumstances, things when we're not ready for them to happen, really show us where we're at. So I just want to read his story to you. He said, "Because I drive the night shift, my cab often becomes a moving confessional. Passengers climb in, sit behind me in total anonymity, and tell me about their lives. I encounter people whose lives amaze me. They make me laugh and sometimes weep, but none touch me more than a woman I picked up late one August night. When I arrived at 2:30 a.m., the building was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many drivers would just honk once or twice and then drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation. Unless the situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. This passenger might be someone who needs my assistance, I reasoned to myself, so I walked to the door and knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly voice. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 80s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like somebody out of a 1940s movie. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. Would you carry my bag out to the car? She asked. I took the bag and then turned to assist her. She took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. It's nothing, I told her. I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother treated. When we got in the cab, she gave me an address, then asked, could you drive through downtown? I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice. I don't have any family left, she continued, and the doctor says I don't have very long. I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. What route would you like me to take? I asked. So for the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow in front of a particular building or corner and would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, I'm tired, let's go now. We drove in silence to the address she had given me. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. How much do I owe you? She asked, reaching into her purse. Nothing, I said. Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. You gave an old woman a little moment of joy, she said. Thank you. I squeezed her hand, then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the rest of that day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver, or one who was impatient to end a shift? What if I had refused to take the call, or had honked once, then driven away? I don't think that I've done anything more important in my life. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. But great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one. Isn't that powerful? We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments, but great moments often catch us unaware. But when the Holy Spirit shapes our character, our words and our actions line up. And no matter what situation comes our way, we're ready to do good things. God wants me to be a model. God wants you to be a model of His character. The first purpose of the church is discipleship. The second goal of God that He has is that God wants me to be a messenger of His love. He wants me to be a messenger of His love. This is the purpose of evangelism. Second purpose of the church is evangelism. God wants me to be a messenger of His love. Once we have been born again, we automatically become messengers of God's gospel message, of His good news, His message of love to others. Whether you want it or not, it's part of the job description. When you become a Christian, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You become a messenger of God's good news. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 20. This is the Living Bible translation. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to Himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message He has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ Himself were here pleading with you, receive the love He offers you. Be reconciled to God. This is our message to the world. We are Christ's ambassadors, and our message to the world is, God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ Himself were here pleading with you, receive the love He offers you. Be reconciled to God. Every one of us has gifts. Every one of us has abilities that God has given us. So we all have a purpose. We all have a mission. We all have things that we're supposed to accomplish in our lifetime. But one of those missions for everyone in the room here, if you're a believer, is telling others about Jesus. It's everyone's responsibility. It's not just my responsibility as the pastor. It's not just those who are more bold than others or whatever. But literally, every single believer has the responsibility. God has the goal in every one of our lives to be a messenger, to tell people about Jesus. In Acts 20, verse 24, again from the Living Bible, Paul said this, life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. It's pretty intense, isn't it? Life is worth nothing unless I tell other people about Jesus. Let that sink in for just a moment. That's pretty intense, right? None of us has a clue of the impact that we could have, not just on one individual, but on families, on generations, and who knows what else could happen by simply us sharing the message of God to someone. I'm going to give you an amazing example of this. In the 13th century, Niccolo Polo, who was the father of Marco Polo, Niccolo Polo was visiting the court of the grandson of Genghis Khan, who was Kublai Khan. Kublai Khan was the emperor of China at that time, and Kublai Khan had never seen in person or never met a European, never met a white person before. And so he was really intrigued and he was really delighted to finally get to meet, you know, a European, Niccolo Polo, who had come from Venice. And he was also incredibly impressed with Niccolo Polo's faith. He's impressed by his faith. So after Niccolo Polo sails back to Venice, Kublai Khan wrote a letter and sent a message to Venice requesting that they send Christian representatives to China to teach them about the Christian faith. But because of all the political upheaval that was happening in Europe at that time, all the infighting between the churches and all this other stuff that was going on, there was a long, long delay of them sending someone finally back to China. And when they did, when it finally did happen, they only sent two men. And those two men didn't stay. They were there for a little while and they lost heart, and then they ended up coming back to Europe. And because of that, Kublai Khan instead turned to Buddhism, and that has been the predominant religion of China to this day. What an amazingly missed opportunity. A whole nation could be different today if they had simply sent people to go over there to teach. They wanted to hear. And there are people all around us that want to hear the truth. And we're the messengers. God wants me to be a messenger of His love. So I've given you the two of the five purposes of the church. The first purpose of the church is discipleship. God wants me to be a model of His character. And the second purpose of the church is evangelism. God wants me to be a messenger of His love. I want to ask you, as we close, I know this is a time of the year when people make resolutions, people make decisions, people tend to try to focus on this new year and what they want to see happen in their lives. But I want to ask you, how can you, what decisions can you make to become more of a model of God's character in your life? And the second question, of course, is how can you, in this new year, become a messenger of God's love? Because these are the purposes of our church, I mean, we have ways to help you with all of these, whether it's discipleship. You know, I mentioned the Strong Foundations class. We've got Bible studies. We've got prayer, you know, Thursday mornings. We have worship alive, coming to church to hear the Word of God. We've got all sorts of things like that. We always encourage you to invite people to church. We create special events just for that purpose, for you to be able to invite, to be able to reach out. We have a servant evangelism team. We have all of that available to you. But my challenge to you is that you align your lives with the purposes of God. Because that's why we're here. Amen. Let's not be the post office in Pittsburgh. You guys bow your heads. Lord God, we just want to seal your word in our hearts right now. I thank you, Lord, that we don't just come to church just because we don't have anything else to do. But that God, that you have a purpose, you have a plan, you have goals, you have desires, you have an agenda. And so, Father, I just pray that you help us, help each of us, Lord, to align our lives with you. I pray, God, that you will speak to us now. That you will direct our hearts, you will direct our lives. And I thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed, I want to ask, if you're here and if you've not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, if you've not established that real and true connection, I want to give you that opportunity today. There's no better way to start this year than being fully connected with the one who loves you, the one who created you, the one who ultimately has amazing plans for your life. And so if you're here and if you've not done that, or if this is a time where you need to rededicate your life, maybe you've drifted. Maybe your life has been adrift. Maybe you know the truth, but your life hasn't really reflected that. Again, maturity isn't measured by how long you've been doing something or how much information you have. It's about your life, what you do every day, who you are as a person. And so if you'd like to make a decision today, either a time of first-time salvation, or even if it's a time of rededicating your life, of realigning your life, would you just lift your hand right now just to indicate that you're making a decision today, this is something that you desire. Amen. Amen. Those of you that have raised your hands, I just want to give you a moment between you and the Lord just to communicate your heart. Whatever it is that you need to do to realign your life. If there's repentance that needs to happen, this is the time to do that. Call upon the name of the Lord. For everyone else, if God's speaking to you this morning about either the purpose of discipleship or the purpose of evangelism in your life, if God is challenging you, if God is rebuking you, if He's encouraging you, whatever it might be, but you know that God is speaking to you and calling you to some action, would you lift your hand right now as well? Amen. 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 And also with you, I just want to give you a moment. This is between you and God. This isn't between you and me. It's between you and God. Whatever God is calling you to do, would you just simply agree? Would you say yes? Say yes. Yes, Lord. Would you agree? And would you set your heart to move and do whatever it is that God's calling you to? Would you move to obedience? Lord God, I just want to thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Thank you for what you're saying and how you're directing our lives this morning. God, I just pray that your grace would be extended towards each person. Help us, Lord, to please you in every way in our lives. And God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise one time?